Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'll be your host, and we are ready to roll. Sorry about interrupting the intro music there, but with only an hour, I really just don't feel like playing a whole long, drawn-out song. We all know it's the Grand Illusion. Yes, and she is in Phoenix, Rod. She's out there on some business, so that's why I told her I was going to be enjoying an 18-year-old blonde tonight, a nice 18-year-old Chivas Regal, rare scotch, very good. And I'm glad to see everyone in the chat room and hope everyone is as relaxed as they can be with all the insanity that's going on. I was talking in the chat room earlier. One of my customers felt the need to share with me an editorial letter that he had on his iPhone. This woman had written a letter to the editor regarding gun control and singing the praises of the caliph in chief, a la Mike in the hot seat. Thank you, Mike, for that phrase. Decrying that Obama was the change agent that needed to bring more change to the United States, and that we needed more gun control, and that the crazy conservatives were simply trying to fool people into believing that the Constitution says the government doesn't have the right to regulate what kind of firearms people can own. She went on to say that she wasn't sure about the actual numbers, but if you look at the wonderful area which the president is from, Chicago, she was quite certain that Chicago had a much lower gun violence statistics than probably anywhere in the entire country. You just can't make that kind of stuff up. That she went on to explain that the Constitution was outdated and really needed to be changed. And she knew enough, ladies and gentlemen, that she had actually bothered to read the Constitution. She said, we need to revisit our qualifications for president. You know, I mean, saying that they have to be 35 years of age, that's okay, I guess. But she said, you know, that they must be a natural-born citizen of the United States. She said, that's just ridiculous. Look at all of the great people that could otherwise be president if they hadn't been born by C-section. Yeah, okay, you cannot spit your beverage through your nostrils right now. She was dead serious. She surmised that if it wasn't a natural childbirth, that they couldn't be president if they were born by cesarean section. Are you kidding me? Just wow. So, kind of a light note, but then again not, because we have to remember that these people actually vote, and clearly she voted for Barack Hussein Obama. But without delving too far into the left, right, yeah, exactly. Linda, I understand which one of those hometowns, correct. She was actually referencing Chicago, believe it or not, which just expounds on her ignorance. It can't even be called ignorance. It's just plain stupid, okay? Let's face it. But without getting too far flung into the left-right paradigm, I ran across an article that had a catchy title, and that is that Obama wants to grant amnesty to terrorists. And I thought, okay, well, that's an interesting claim. How can we possibly spin this into it really is Obama wanting to grant amnesty to terrorists? I suppose potential terrorists might have been a better title, but wouldn't be nearly as sensational. Nonetheless, I did not know this, or I guess hadn't bothered to look, but according to the Department of Homeland Security, it has the ability, roughly, to apprehend one out of every 10 people sneaking into the country illegally. A good number of those people, believe it or not, are OTMs, other than Mexicans. Not that Mexicans sneaking into the country illegally is okay, and other than Mexicans sneaking into the country is worse. Neither one of those are correct, as we know. And this doggone phone is about to drive me nuts. Thank goodness. I don't know who's calling me, but they're not getting through, and I don't have the wife here to run interference on the telephone, so I apologize for that. But back to the story, it seems that the practice in our Justice Department is that when the government gets a hold of an other than Mexican, and they have no documentation, no papers, they basically issue these people a citation and give them a court date and then send them on their merry way. That is 70% of other than Mexicans. They just release them into the population without confirming their identity. They said the rationalization for this practice offered by the administration is that the U.S. is releasing potential terrorists on the U.S. streets is a refusal of the other than Mexican's country of origin to accept the undocumented immigrants' deportation back to their homeland. I'm sorry. That's just nuts. One of the many things that's wrong in this country. I also read an article about a young man, and Linda, this is why I was asking the question that I asked when you were talking about the veteran dressing someone down on gun control. Seems there's a young man down in West Palm Beach, Florida, who began flying his flag upside down in a protest to the government gun proposals, gun control legislation proposals, gun ban. And I found something quite interesting in the article. And that is one of this gentleman's neighbors who has a problem with this young man flying his flag upside down. And the gentleman said, quote, "I can respect that they died for the flag right side up. Doing this is a symbol, and it is a desecration of the flag." You know, I've run across a lot of people who have some very deep-seated beliefs on what it means to be patriotic, what it means to have a flag, an American flag. And I find it interesting when I ask people about the flag and what it means. And we kind of touched on this last week when I asked an individual that I was having a debate with, what is America? What is America? And of course, I got a snide comment back, which told me that the individual either hadn't ever really contemplated that question or just quite simply couldn't give the answer. And the answer, as of course, as most everyone knows, certainly anyone that's listened to this program, that America is an idea. It's a concept. And the concept and the idea of America has been under constant attack since its inception. And that idea we can find enshrined in the document that, if it's showing up on your screen at the very top, that I have posted, and that's our Declaration of Independence. Everything else in this country, every political ideology, every legal aspect of our existence as a society, okay, is predicated on that one single document. And if we take that a little further, the principles enshrined in that document can be found in your Bible. They are, despite all of the people that will tell you otherwise, they are inherently Christian principles. Actually, they're God's principles for man. I think that's one reason why so many want to remove God from the public forum. And the more I debate these self-proclaimed atheists, the more I realize that they have assembled the most enormous straw man argument imaginable. And what it comes down to is they want to live by their own rules and their own morality and don't want to be accountable to anyone or anything. Now, they'll tell you that they have a better morality than this imaginary God, but it's utter ridiculousness. And they have no basis from which to accredit their ability to have logic or reason. That there's no foundational basis for it. And what I mean by that is that if you ascribe to the idea that all of creation is simply happenstance, it's just a happy accident, and just an evolutionary accident that we even exist at all, then how do you qualify logic? How do you qualify morality? How do you qualify logic? On what basis does it exist? Because if you completely do away with the idea of intelligent design and the system in which you exist is simply happenstance, then there can be no intelligence behind it. And therefore, there can be no logic, there can be no reason. There's just chemical reactions that trigger electrical responses that cause your muscles to move. And we just can't qualify thought, individual thought, and self-awareness. They have no way to account for that. And that's really where I think their argument falls on its face. But not to digress too far from the topics of the show, I see we had another shooting, this one in Delaware, I believe it was, at a church. A church, jeez Louise, might as well be a courthouse, pardon me. And I see where they're having a real issue with the 9/11 hearings and the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed trial down at Guantanamo Bay. And I wanted to read a couple of excerpts from the transcripts of what is going on. It seems that the defense lawyers are having a bit of a tizzy. They believe they're being eavesdropped on their conversations, privileged conversations between themselves and their clients. Never mind that the clients are alleged terrorists. Never mind that they were the supposed masterminds behind 9/11. Set that all aside for a moment and let's go back to on principle. We have certain standards and principles, and if we're willing to sell those out for the worst of society, then what the hell are we willing to do for the best of society? That's really kind of the point. The attorney, one of the practicing attorneys, said, quote, "I've been practicing law for 25 years, and never have I been put in the position where I have to ask the following. Am I being listened in on as I talk to my client?" The part that I wanted to read to you is what the judge, in this case, what his response was. Quote, "My staff and I spent a full week diligently running every rumor to ground. And I can say unequivocally that no entity of the United States government is listening to, monitoring, or recording communications between the five accused and their counsel at any location." Now, the interesting thing here is that he felt it necessary to say no entity of the United States government. He did not eliminate the possibility that some other entity from some other government or organization could be listening in. You see, when you deal with judges and attorneys, it's not so much what they say, it's what they don't say that really matters. The attorney went on to say, in one instance, Borman said a guard at the prison lockup assured her that a smoke detector in a visitor's cell was not a listening device. Defense investigation proved otherwise, she said. Guess what, judge? It's a listening device. Unbelievable. Not really. Just not really. Now, it seems that there's also another entity involved in this case. The defense attorneys discovered that there was a kill switch for the audio in the courtroom, whereby they could eliminate what the jury heard. They could flip a switch so that the jury wouldn't hear specific testimony that may or may not be crucial to quote-unquote national defense. Now, mind you, this is a jury of military personnel. This is not some jury of peers from Detroit, where they have a very large Muslim population. On another note, we see a lot of stories being aired, or I have anyway, of late, about China and Russia and the amount of gold that they're purchasing and have been purchasing. And the... Yeah, exactly, Rod. You know, so China and Russia, as we know, have been purchasing a lot of gold, hoarding gold, it seems. How crazy is that? And the excuse given in the article in regards to the Russians hoarding gold, they have a concern, and their concern is the collapse of the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency of the world. What an epiphany that must have been. I wonder where we've heard that before. And when we have another story, and this one may have flown under the radar for a lot of people, just depends on how diligently you're seeking out news and what news you're looking for. I'm going to post a link in the chat room on this one. It seems that Venezuela has had a revaluation of their currency. Kind of quiet. I don't know. I don't watch the televised newscast, so I don't know if this made the national news or not. Don't know if it was on Fox or CNN. Don't really care. But I found the article very interesting. And they give a very big clue in the article why they're doing this. And here's a quote from one of the senior officials in the Venezuelan government. Quote, either the government burns up huge quantities of its foreign currency reserves, insert U.S. dollars, handing out cheap dollars, or there will be shortages, said Vincent Leon, a pollster and economist. Local economists estimate that the equilibrium exchange rate at which foreign currency is no longer relatively cheap for Venezuelans will be about 9 bolivars to the dollar. Okay. Translation. They've revamped or revaluated their currency to be about 6.5 bolivars to the dollar, and the target rate is 9 bolivar to the dollar. So they're two-thirds of the way there. And why on earth, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a government, why would you possibly want to make your currency at par with the U.S. dollar? I can tell you why. Not on the marketplace so much as it is within your own country. You want your people to stop using dollars and use your currency. That's another way of saying, you know, we want to drop the dollar entirely. We don't want it in our economy. Now, you may remember many, many years ago that one of the presidents had labeled Mr. Chavez as, oh, well, just golly, one of the most evil bastards on the face of the planet, Satan himself. I don't know if the guy is or not. It's a socialist government, and I don't see that it's a whole lot different from the one we have here in this country currently, but that's a whole nother story. One of the things that precipitated Mr. Bush's statement was the fact that Hugo Chavez, after becoming the duly elected president in Venezuela, basically told the United States they could stick their U.S. dollar currency where the sun didn't shine, and that Venezuela would no longer be selling oil to the United States for dollars. They were requesting the euro. So again, we have a situation where all of these other countries in the world are concerned about the stability of the U.S. dollar, and yet, are you hearing this on the news? Are you hearing this on the money shows, the CNBC and the MSNBC and all these others? Are you hearing that on the daily ticker shows? I don't think so. Well, I think, Rod, we've isolated ourselves by having the world reserve currency and then printing money like it was going out of style. We have, in fact, isolated ourselves and alienated much of the world against us. Instead of people looking at the United States as a prosperous nation and trying to emulate the U.S., they've actually become very hateful of America and see us as over-consumers, as slovenly. And, you know, I can't completely disagree with them. We do have a lot of wealth here, and of course there's always going to be jealousy, but the wealth in this country is in the people. It's in our ability to labor, to produce things. It's not in the fiat paper money and the electronic money that our central banking system issues at breakneck speed. And I just read an article this afternoon where our government has continued the Eurozone bailout to the tune of $238 billion. Have you been hearing that in the news lately on Fox News or CNN or whatever news you might listen to or watch? So all of these things add up to big trouble right around the corner. And I actually overheard Mr. Beck this afternoon or this morning on his show use one of the phrases that I've been using here for a long time. Not that I can take any credit for it because I'm not the one that coined it either. But he absolutely was talking about a race to the bottom. A currency race to the bottom, which is exactly what I have been warning of for a very, very long time. And I couldn't help but notice today, in looking at the currency numbers, that, you know, there's only one country on the face of the planet that I see right now that is maintaining their currency or actually gaining ground on the U.S. dollar in terms of being able to cheapen their currency faster than the U.S. dollar is depreciating, and that's Japan. And, you know, it's really no small wonder, given the huge amounts of money and time and labor that they're expending right now trying to recover from the tsunami and earthquake. So, you know, that should be no real shock or surprise there. We're just being torn apart internally. We're killing ourselves, and our government has become parasitic. Our government is a parasite. And it is killing the host. That would be us. And part of that parasitic drain, whether we like it or not, and it may be politically incorrect to point it out, but it is the reality all the same, part of that parasitic drain is simply robbing Peter to pay Paul. That is taking money from productive Americans and giving it to non-productive Americans, plain and simple, or non-productive immigrants, or non-productive countries, nations, sending military aid. My God, we're sending military jets, F-16 fighters, and tanks to Egypt. Really? I thought, maybe I was wrong in this, I thought one of the reasons for us having military bases, 175 bases abroad, was that we were able to be the policemen of the world, and so countries like Egypt, well, they really just didn't even have a need for a military, do they? At some point, the insanity has to stop. And yes, Doc, you're right. We owe, the article I read was $1.2 trillion, but let's not split hairs, to China, and $1.7 trillion to the Fed. It's a logistical problem, and it's pure mathematics. The fact of the matter is the government's not taking in enough revenue, all right, to service its debt, period. They can't make the interest payments on their credit card, folks. Plain and simple. They can't meet the interest payments. And we're fast approaching a time when the interest payments will wholly outrun all revenues. Don't know what they plan on doing about it, but I see they all think they've got a plan, and I'm sorry I've been ignoring the circuit board here, so I'm going to bring up Miss Linda and Mr. Robert, I believe. Mr. Robert, you've been holding for a long time. Welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Ron? What's going on?
I'm doing wonderful. And, you know, I'm wondering about these racist cops up there in Delaware that shot that poor Jewish guy in the courthouse. Did you read that article?
I did not read that article, but it's odd that you mentioned that because I had a trifling experience Friday.
Uh-oh.
And I have to go. And I want to tell real quick that I can't stay on because I have an appointment at 8:30.
You didn't shoot
anybody. Well, let me tell you what happened to me.
I'm all ears.
After I picked out what I was going to buy, you know, regarding to a gun.
Your squirt gun, yes, sir.
I called a NRA instructor, you know, so I can get a license, you know.
Right, so they teach you how to use your Super Soaker 2000. Okay, I got you.
So we were talking and talking and talking, and then all of a sudden, this guy accuses me over the phone that he's never met me before, and accused me of being drunk.
Well, did you tell him that, no, I'm Jewish and I just had a ham sandwich? I'm sorry, I apologize.
I said, I'm not drunk. What are you talking? I said, it could be my cell phone that's acting up. I don't drink. He says, you sound drunk. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Call me back some other time. I hung up the phone. I was so...
You should have called him back immediately and said, it's because I'm Jewish, isn't it?
No. But this guy, has my name and has my phone number. And now he's probably telling everybody I'm a drunk. Right?
Well, you know what, Robert? It takes all kinds out there. And, you know, unfortunately...
So what do I do? Find another person, or do you know, just keep low profile? I don't know what to do.
I'm with Bill Strong. Get drunk and call him back.
What did Bill Strong say?
And Bill said you should have gotten drunk and call him back. All right, now you SOB. Now I'm drunk. You no good so-and-so.
I'm really, truly drunk now.
Now I'm drunk. It's all your fault.
Now I'm really drunk and I want to shoot.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say that.
Oh, my God.
You know, the cops will be at your house about a New York minute.
Oh, my Lord. That, well, he already ruined my reputation by saying that.
Well, you know. not technically. I mean, as far as you know, he only divulged that to you on the telephone. So.
Yeah, well. So, therefore, I'm having second thoughts now.
Now I'm going to kick you in the knee. Have you been down to see our good friend, Mr. Frank Winkle?
I need to go see Mr. Frank Winkle.
Robert, I'm going to come down there and kick you in the behind if you don't go and see Frank, doggone it.
How's he doing? I've been really slammed on.
I understand, but doggone it, you're right there down the street from him, and I'm not, and we'd all like to hear from him. I can't find his doggone number. I had it written down, and I've lost it.
Oh no! You pulled the same thing. I lost my address book. I even had your number in my address book, and I can't find my address book anywhere.
Well, you know, I am getting old.
At any rate, I mean, how would you feel if that I did that to you? Ron, hello.
Are we still on?
All right. Miss Linda, how are you? I don't know what the heck happened there. I got disconnected from Skype and Robert's disappeared, so.
Oh, no.
I apologize for that.
I had a great suggestion for him. He shouldn't get so disconnected. He needs, I'll have to send him another email. He's got to have some sort of indoor gun range down there where he lives.
Oh, my God.
They have instructors there for probably less money, you know, and you can pick your times or whatever and find out how to be trained. I mean, they'll train you. Whatever they charge is probably worth it, you know.
Well, you know, I'm not sure about down there. I know up here a lot of the county sheriff's departments offer free handgun training for citizens.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's ways to go. I mean, I'm
sure.
Thinking about joining the militia, but no.
I've actually, believe it or not, I've actually very, very seriously, and I haven't ruled it out yet, looked into taking up the offer from Mr. Ignatius Piazza for the front sight training, although it would mean I'd have to fly to Nevada to partake in that.
Wow.
But,
yeah, that would be amazing. Yeah. No, the things that you were speaking on today, you've got a lot on your plate with the articles. And you mentioned that America is an idea, and then you went into what wealth creation is that God-given ability or the opportunity of the American idea to produce. You know, those who even understand a little bit about economics and what capitalism really is in a free market system, which, again, we haven't seen for a long time. And the problem is, you know, there's nobody out there on any campaign trail other than the people in this room, Ron Paul and Judge Napolitano, who speak about these things. They don't give the message that needs to be given. That's why I posted on Facebook that, because about 2 minutes before you went live, I got this email where the guy, I think it was in, you know, and they had some kind of town hall meeting, and there was a lot of veterans, there was a lot of, you know, gun owners were having this debate about the Second Amendment and the Constitution, and this guy was in uniform, and he just let loose, and he really let him have it. It was amazing. You guys have to watch it. It's only about 3 minutes long. But he, you know, he gave the libtard a run for his money on because this guy says, well, the liberal one goes, we just want to take a look at the Constitution and, you know, how outdated it might be and what's the relevance of the Second Amendment today and you know, what does it mean? And so the veteran says, it means the same thing today that it did in the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s. He just... And people stood up and just cheered. You got to watch this thing. It's amazing.
Well, you know, and the key question in that would be, where in the hell do you think the Second Amendment came from? Do you believe that government created the Second Amendment as a gift?
Yeah.
No.
See, they don't get it. No.
Yeah, that was a statement by we the people who were creating the government, telling
right.
them, hey, there's a few things that we won't tolerate, and this is
That's
absolutely
right.
on the list. That's why it's written
yeah.
down.
Yep.
And memorialized.
And I mean, you can even go to the Federalist Papers to find this stuff. I mean, this was written before they even, you know, presented the Constitution for the convention. You know, apparently these people don't read anything other than what's put out by Noam Chomsky or Howard Zinn. I must say, it just astounds me. I've never seen anything like it. You just want to shake them, Ron. You just want to shake them.
Well, and you can't, and you know.
I know.
I was listening to a radio broadcast on my way home tonight, and the guy had a pastor call in, and he said something that was very, very much to the point. And they were discussing a group of teenagers over in Bill's neck of the woods in Indiana that have decided they want to have their own prom. Without any homosexuals in attendance. And while on the surface we might want to stand and cheer that idea, and we might even say, well, maybe these kids came up with that all on their own, we have to question, is that really the right way to go about addressing the homosexual lifestyle? From a Christian perspective.
Right.
Because what these kids have done, whether that was their intent or not, is they've made it about them and not about morality. It's become
well,
all
right.
about
and,
them.
And then you gotta look down the slippery slope of singling out groups of people, and this is not good.
Well, not only that, but if the object, okay, if the goal is to win hearts and minds
right.
to God, right, and to salvation,
mm-hmm.
is that really the best way to go about it? By shunning people and shutting them out? That seems to me to be exactly the opposite. And the same thing, and you know, I've talked about it here on my show many times, we cannot go on the attack by attacking the person. We've got to attack the fallacy
the
of the message,
Right.
We've got to attack the evil, but we have to do it in such a way that we're not making it a personal vendetta, and we're not doing it with malice towards the individual.
Because
the
if
moment,
we do the attacking, then they'll shut down.
The moment you make it a confrontational, a personal attack, it's game over. You lose instantly. And we have, and I've been putting out the word, and when I'm done with the show tonight, I've got to get back on the forum Wednesday here at our capital in Georgia. One of the liberal progressive Democrats, and God, we got a bunch of them, she is having a public forum to discuss these evil assault weapons and gun control.
Okay.
And I think it is infinitely important for our side, those who are pro-Second Amendment, pro-constitutional gun rights,
to show up,
to have a presence at that meeting and present a rational argument. Not an argument for the sake of arguing, but to ask actual questions. And I think one of the main questions that should be posed to the lady speaker and all those that are similarly situated as her in their mindset, what is it you hope to accomplish through gun control? What is it? What's the goal? What's the objective? What are you trying to accomplish? And, I mean, seriously, if they even utter for a moment that they're trying to save lives, well, clearly the statistics demonstrate that the way you're going about it is totally ineffectual. It doesn't work.
And backwards,
So why do you keep trying to do something that doesn't work?
It's impossible. They can't. You cannot control people's behavior, especially criminals. That's why we have jails.
Right. And it's no different. And honestly, it's no different than the atheist argument against God. Right? And I've posed this question. Okay, so you don't believe in God, but you go around blaming all the ills that you perceive that arise from Christianity. You blame that on God, and you don't blame it on the ignorant-ass people that are actually carrying out those actions. Right?
Exactly.
Because only Christians murder. And only Christians do this, and only Christians do that. The fact that they claim or profess a belief in God or Christ has zero to do with their actions. They prove that daily.
Right. Well, you know, when you're talking about statistics, you know, there's, 305 million guns in the hands of about 120 million people. And you know, I think that Mark Levin said it. He says, do you realize the firepower there? He says, if those law-abiding gun owners wanted to unleash hell, don't you think they could do it? But they're not going to. I mean, my God, get it in your head, people.
Well, absolutely. American gun owners represent the first, second, third, and fourth largest armies on the planet.
Uh-huh. I know. I know.
Make no mistake, we are a force to be reckoned with. That said, the idea that the American gun owners could collectively take up arms and challenge our government is absolutely insane.
Well, we don't have the drones. They do.
Well, I don't know if any of you guys ever watched that series on television called The Walking Dead. Or if you've ever seen Mad Max.
Clearly,
if you had a situation where there was a total breakdown in society and it was just utter chaos, there's not going to be some kumbaya moment where everybody who owns a gun comes together collectively and says, okay, we're going to solve this problem. Oh, hell no. It's going to be every man for himself.
Right.
Plain and simple. So, you know, that idea is just nuts in and of itself. And I'm glad you brought up the drones, because that was something that I wanted to talk about. And if I can find the doggone, well, I know I can't find it because I'd have to go on the other forum. I will locate it and send it to you guys. it was a tech video, and some people at MIT and a network of folks that do research and development for the Department of Defense, they were working on a camera for the drones because they're limited.
Ah.
They're limited to a very small surface area, okay? And because of the size of the drones, they're limited to how big the camera array can be. And so that limits their capabilities. And so this group was tasked with trying to come up with a solution. And it's quite ingenious, actually. The gentleman explains that, you know, they were looking at all this technology and trying to figure out, okay, how do we develop new technology? And they said, well, what if we use technology that already exists? And they got to looking at the little camera in a cell phone. And they said, well, here's this iPhone camera, and it's quite sophisticated. And it has great resolution, and it's quite small. And someone said, well, what if we simply linked a whole bunch of these together? And, you know, they did. And I forget the exact numbers. It's something on the order of 1,800 or 18,000. I believe it was 18,000 of these small camera cards with the camera from iPhones. And they link them all together into one singular camera that basically acts like a compound eye on an insect.
Good grief. Oh, my Lord.
What they've developed is a camera system that takes a 360-degree view of an area that was quite large. They couldn't give the exact dimensions, but it encompassed an entire state like New York. And it's recording, and it has resolution on the order of, I believe they said, 180,000 megapixels. They can get down to a resolution of identifying an object 6 inches in length, laying on the ground from 17,500 feet. Now, that all sounds good and fine, but it's another part of the technology that bothers me. And that is that one of the side benefits to this thing that they've created, they realized, is it tracks movement.
Uh-oh.
And as the guy is showing on the screen, and I believe it was Rhode Island that they were showing, you see the whole state and a portion of a couple of neighboring states, and he says, and we have the ability, and it's a touch screen, and he touches a point on the map, on the picture, and it zeroes in, it zooms in. Now, you can zoom in even lower. They can open 180 individual windows on that screen.
Hmm.
And what you notice is you see all these circles and squares and triangles popping up in different colors. Well, each one of those represents an object that's in motion within the field of view of the camera.
Wow.
There were cars moving. There were birds flying. There
were
people walking on the sidewalk. And it's tracking each one of those individually, all at the same time. Anything that moves is being tracked in real time.
Oh, my God.
Now, the goal is, the stated goal, is to have enough of these in the air that they can surveil the entire United States 24/7.
Oh, my God.
Now, we could think of a good use for this, right? Let's take the, for instance, of the officer out there in your great state of California that has an axe to grind with the LAPD and has them all shaking in their boots. If this system were already in place, they would have captured him, they would have captured video of the incident. Now, they can't foretell the incident's going to happen, but what they could do is go back to the video of that particular day. They know the geographical location where the first infraction occurred, where he was present. They can bring up that time. They can click on the map. They can zero in, and from that moment, They can track him forward until they get to real time and know exactly where he is.
Wow. So how high up are these things?
17,500 feet.
Damn.
A long damn ways.
Yeah, it's out of my range.
Out of my range.
Dang.
I haven't yet acquired the 20-millimeter sniper rifle, but even that's only got an effective range of about 4.5 miles. So, well, I guess that might be, I'd have to do the math right quick. 5, 10, 15. Oh, yeah, well, that's the, well, we'll say roughly, you know, 3 miles. So, yeah, they're definitely in range.
Oh, boy.
But at $15 a shot, that could get expensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially if they're all over the place. Oh, my Lord.
But, I mean, just knowing that, ladies and gentlemen, this is something that your government has the aspirations for.
Mm-hmm.
And what that translates into is that no movement in public outside of your domicile would be outside of the prying eyes of Big Brother.
Right. It's disgusting. I know. They want total control. I know they do. I mean, it's pretty apparent, especially with the gun grabbing. And I did send an email to my local state senator and said, if you let them do this in Sacramento, there's going to be court battles up the wazoo. They're trying to make everything so draconian on the gun laws here in the state. They're one-upmanship on Kumquat and Bloomtree, I'm telling you. Just absolutely.
Have you guys had a local gun buyback yet in your area?
Oh, yeah, but it was like, I think they only collected like maybe less than 1,000 guns in San Diego.
Well, being California, you would probably get arrested for doing this out there, but we had one here locally at College Park, which is down near the airport in Atlanta. And several members of the forum, the group, the Outdoors Trader that I sent you, they took the day and went down to College Park and set up their lawn chairs and had signs, we'll pay cash for your guns and we pay more than the city. And the city was paying $100 for a pistol and $150 for a rifle. And several of the members from the forum got some amazingly great deals on some fabulous firearms. One guy bought an M1 Garand for $200.
Oh, that's wild.
That's like $1,500 rifle these days. Another guy bought a Remington 1100 semi-automatic 12-gauge shotgun for $180. That's an $800 shotgun all day long.
Wow.
It was crazy. And they did have, and they did capture two or three Democratic parishioners who didn't want to be photographed and were hiding their face. So, of course, they avoided purchasing any firearms that those individuals might have been proffering up for cash. But mainly it was older folk, some elderly people that, you know, had guns laying around the house and didn't really know what to do with them, were probably, I guess, past the point of giving a damn as far as using them. You know, they figured, we're close enough to the old Undertaker that it really doesn't matter at this point. But they didn't know how to dispose of them, and they didn't want them to just go into the wrong hands. And here were these guys, you know, well-dressed.
Wow, that's awesome.
Looking guys, and you know, they're out there and bought a ton of guns, and I was pissed that I had to work.
I know. Oh, boy.
And the cops there were really great. They were good with it. One of the guys said, one of the cops came up to him and he said, okay, you know, get your money ready because they just ran out of money inside. So all the people standing in line, we're out of money. We can't buy any more guns. And here's all these guys sitting outside.
Awesome.
With cash on hand. We got plenty. Come on up. What do you got?
Wow. Well, I'm going to let you wrap it up, and thanks so much for taking my call, and you did a great job on the top of this show and all of the show. So I'm going to go back to the chat room, and God bless.
All right. God bless you, hon. Thanks for calling in. I got about 5 minutes left, so I guess I'll take this time to, you know, give you guys a rundown and make sure that you tune in for the other programs we have here on Patriot Families. Of course, Monday night is this program right here, as you're all well aware. Tomorrow night will be Patriot Families Chat with Mr. Bill Strong, and I'm sure the lovely Miss Linda Sills, who was just on the phone with us, will also be making an appearance on that. Her and Bill seem to make a pretty good tag team. And then on Wednesday night at 7, we'll have Miss Linda Sills herself with Right from the Left Coast. And then on Thursday night, the always informational Miss Terry Rowland with Patriot Education. And then I believe Mr. Michael Magic is doing a couple of shows. I don't recall if it's Friday or Saturday, but we do have a good lineup, a great group of folks. If you're not a member of PatriotFamilies.com, Patriot Families with a YS, guys, join up. It doesn't cost anything. Yeah, you got to give some of your information. You know what? You're not hiding from anybody. Your information's all over the damn internet. If you're worried about a red list, blue list kind of thing, you're already on it. If you're worried about it, you're on it. Don't sweat it. It is what it is. But we've got to make a concerted effort to take a stand. And we shouldn't be confrontational with people, as I said, on a personal level. But we should politely, wisely, calmly ask pertinent questions. Spark the debate. Spark thought. Get people to actually question, why are we doing this? What is it we hope to accomplish? What is the end goal of all of these things? And from there, you can possibly get a foot in the door to begin to educate people and get them to open their eyes to what's truly going on around them. Because so often, we get these dearly, closely held beliefs, and anything that threatens that, we see as an enemy to be crushed and destroyed, and that just doesn't do anyone any good. It's much, much better to go in as an uninformed, ignorant sheep, merely seeking answers, asking the right questions, and doing so in a non-confrontational way. It's very, very difficult to do because we also suffer from the same malady where our emotions tend to drive our reaction when we perceive that we're being threatened. And we are being threatened, make no mistake about it. Just reading through all the articles on the amount of ammunition that our government is purchasing for use here at home, it just, to me, harkens back to Patrick Henry's famous speech. What army is in this quarter of the globe to justify all of these troops, all of these munitions? Ladies and gentlemen, why do you think that your federal government is purchasing all this ammunition? It's not meant for some hitherto unknown enemy. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's intended for you. It's precisely what it's intended for. It's intended for you. And so, as Patrick Henry said, the battle is already being waged. The shots have been fired. Why stand we here idle? It's a call to arms, figuratively. Not a call to arms of destruction, but a call to arms of intelligence. Guys, thanks for tuning in and listening to the show tonight. I hope to see you guys all back here tomorrow night. God bless everybody. Keep your chin up. And remember, just, you know, it's really a simple thing to politely say, no thank you. I'm not going to participate. God bless, guys. Good night.